Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com. Did you know that half of America is single? Hollywood has never produced anything like this before. The Dating Project, a groundbreaking documentary that follows five single people, ages 18 to 40, as they search for authentic and meaningful relationships. There is no script. There are no actors. These are real people trying to find love and happiness in an age of swiping left or right. From Empower Pictures, Paulus Productions, Family Theater Productions, and PureFlix, you can now own The Dating Project. Save the date by visiting thedatingprojectmovie.com and go a step further and help others in your circle date differently by partnering with Ascension Press. Visit shop.ascensionpress.com to acquire the companion study guide. The Dating Project Movie is now available on DVD and digital download on Amazon, iTunes, and Walmart. Please visit thedatingprojectmovie.com for details.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo. Well, how do you feel?
I feel old.
Let me clarify. This Sunday, July 29th, is your birthday.
It is.
How old are you going
46.
To be? 46.
We had to start the recording again because I said 45. Yes, 46.
So I'm 37 right now. Next March, I'll be 38. I am bothered by those in-between years. So I'd rather be, 35 or 40 because I'm just creeping up. So it's this transition now to 40, you a transition to 50.
Age is just a number. I feel as good physically and mentally as I've ever felt, so I'm fine.
I would never, ever guess your age. And I think most people would say that they'd say much younger. Do you think there's something about maybe the climate that you're originally from, where you maybe look a little younger? Or I mean, do you hear this often?
I hear that often. I think it's the fair complexion of my skin and my hair. I think that makes us look a little younger.
You have a lot of hair as well.
Yes. My father is 82 and he has all his hair. So I'm very hopeful about that.
I'm very, very jealous.
So I always say that one of the things in that talk that you mentioned last week for the deer is... Mm-hmm. I did say that at some point in your life, you need to realize that you become like your dad and your mom. And the sooner you accept this, the better. So I'm thinking about them today because they made me. So I will call them today to thank them for making them. But also, I always say that I got the personality of my mother and the good looks of my father.
People going to sing you happy birthday at Mass?
I hope they don't. I don't like that.
I don't like that.
I wouldn't
that
say hate, but I don't like when they do it. So they know I don't like it, so that's why they do it sometimes. Yeah.
Well, why don't we look at the gospel then?
Yeah.
So we have a longer gospel and maybe some thoughts about what's happening here in the lectionary, theories that we have.
So we've been reading Mark's gospel in this cycle B. And now we are going to jump to John.
And let me read it first.
Sure.
And let's talk about why we think perhaps we're switching to John here in the lectionary here in this cycle. So I'm going to read, we're from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good are these for so many? Jesus said, Have the people recline. Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, Gather the fragments left over, so that nothing will be wasted. So they collected them, and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, This is truly the prophet, the one who is coming into the world. Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone.
There is a lot in this gospel. We've been reading Mark. Mark is the shortest gospel. And now we move to John, maybe because it's the shortest gospel and we rely on John. But what is very interesting is that this story, which is present in Mark, John, Matthew, and Luke, in all 4 gospels, it could be read from Mark's account, but we are reading John's account.
Right.
Why? Because then they can continue the continuous reading of the gospel, but now in John.
At least for several weeks now, we're going to
We don't read Mark again until September 2nd.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be entirely from John chapter 6. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
For the next few weeks?
The bread of life.
Yeah, the bread of life discourses a very dense chapter, and there's a lot going on there.
I think one way to look at the whole discourse, at the whole chapter, is it says at the beginning of today's gospel that people are following Jesus for the signs, for the miracles. Signs in John's gospel is miracle. So they are not following him for what he has said or what he has taught. Mm-hmm. He's being followed because he's been helping them. And I think that's attention, because the minute Jesus says, why are you following me? It will be a whole dialogue between Jesus and his disciples and the Pharisees. It's not about the signs I make. It's what I'm trying to tell you, what I'm trying to teach you.
Also, look at the apostles here who are interacting with Jesus, mm-hmm. Philip and Andrew and Simon Peter, really not at their best.
Yeah.
So we've said that often, and we need to know that always. The apostles are very ordinary human beings, but they're negative. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just constantly negative. Where are we going to find enough food for them to eat? How are we going to make this done? 200 days wages of food would not be enough for each to have a little. They're constantly nitpicking at Jesus here, and really negative and just in doubting constantly.
Yeah.
It would be irritating.
Yeah.
It's Jesus who knows what he's going to do.
Don't we find people like this in our ministry sometimes? The other thing that we can choose to see the positive here, I've preached before that Andrew sees that there is a boy that has something. And don't we need to be able to see the little seeds of a solution? I mean, we have great people that see the problems and they tell us about the problems we have. But we also need people who are able to see that the solution will start when we start seeing, even if it's in a little thing. No, Andrew is able to see that there is a boy with something. And from there, Jesus makes a miracle, right? We need to find the little thing that may become a greater thing later.
I like that. And okay. I think that's so very important. It's also the reality that for God, nothing is impossible. Here's one of those examples.
Let me stop you 1 second. I don't think I explained it very well, and you always do this, that you take what I said and you fix it. Why don't you fix it?
I think you explained it very well, to say we need to be looking for, again, somebody with a gift or a little gift, but really can create an amazing solution. Mm-hmm. So I might use the wrong term here, but the solution that may come from a little bit of gift is exponentially greater than that little gift. And that's what God does, to do it out of nothing. I'm just going to use a secular example, just mm-hmm. from a book that was very popular a number of years ago and still is kind of a business classic, Good to Great. I think Jim Collins is the author.
Yes.
But he says one of the traits of very, very successful CEOs and businesses is they're completely honest about the risks, about where they could fail. But at the same time, they have a drive and a focus to say, we're going to succeed always, but looking for solutions.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the same as here, but I think close to say, we're going to succeed. That's not the position the apostles come from. But there's this little boy here, Andrew says to that, there's a little boy here who has a possible solution.
The other positive thing I see that once Jesus makes the miracle, the fantastic miracle that obviously we have to to mention the connections with this and the Eucharist, but everybody has their feel. Mm-hmm. So you know, when we help, when we do charity, for instance, we sometimes are a little stingy, you know, and when Jesus performs the miracle, he does it with abundance. So right. For me, that's a great example, something that we can learn from Jesus.
A great, great phrase from a good parishioner friend of mine that's been used in other places, but God will never be outdone in his generosity. Mm-hmm. So the more that we give, the more that God will give back. It's not a math equation, but I would say this, give 6 minutes of prayer a day, God's going to give you 10 minutes back in some way. And the same thing with our resources. We can give out of our excess rather than really deeply giving, and the Lord is just going to bless us more abundantly. And not only everybody had their fill, by the way, there was leftover. Mm-hmm. You know, there was even more than enough than everybody could have.
It's an invitation for us to learn from Jesus' abundance. And speaking of abundance, can we move into, let me try this. There are other things here it's what I would call extra credit. You will say, oh, Ricardo, you are paying attention to very small details. But imagine that you don't have the context of this gospel. Mm-hmm. And they tell you that there is a place with grass where you have 5,000 men. Mm-hmm. What would you think is being described? Imagine you don't have the context. You don't know it's the gospel. I tell you, there is a place in 2,000 years ago, a place, the contrary of a veil. How do you say this? I know the word
plane,
in Spanish.
A plane, maybe.
A plane, yeah. With 5,000 men.
I would think of military setting, probably.
That's what I think is going on.
Do you think that's happening?
Yes,
here?
And okay. That's why they want to make him king. These people want Jesus to lead a revolution.
Okay.
And Jesus needs to go, because that's not what he wants to do.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I had never thought of it that way. To be clear, though, I mean, maybe this is not a given, but when it's mentioned 5,000 men, we'd say then there are many more women and children. Would you agree with that?
Or no, I think it's an army.
It truly
it's an
is.
Army of men.
Okay. All right.
That's why it says men. You can take the approach. You can say maybe we are splitting hairs. I don't know. But I have read, I warn you, it's not my original idea. I read from someone making the argument that this is an army.
Okay.
5,000 people who are in a plane, and they don't have food, and that's what may be going on.
So let's take that further. So if that's the case then what is Jesus's response to say, this is the kind of king that I am, perhaps?
Once again, he says, I'm not the political Messiah, I'm the Son of God, which is completely different. And this doesn't need to take the place of the homily, but we shouldn't ignore that probably this is how it was read by those who first read this gospel.
But what you have done, as you often do, but in a very strong way today, you've given me something really to think about.
I've never thought about it that way.
Yeah. I'm going to be thinking about this all the way. I mean, anytime I hear this now, that's a really interesting theory and just an interesting thought.
Can I give you another one?
Sure.
Jesus tells the people to recline.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say, of course they need to recline, they need to eat. First of all, they were standing, who kind of tells you a little bit the idea of the army, maybe
oh, sure.
Not that crazy. But then it says to recline. Who reclines at table?
Well, and it, I mean, the guests do.
The gospel says it was near the Feast of Passover. Why does it say this?
Hmm.
Because in Passover, the people of Israel, in slavery in Egypt, they were standing.
Yeah.
Free people sit down, recline.
Mm.
And when you recline at table, you are a free man, free woman, in that cultural context, whereas the servers were the ones standing.
Okay.
So I think there is something about that also, that Jesus is inviting his followers to be people of freedom.
That second extra credit is really good. I have never heard
that before. It's an extreme application, not extreme, it's an application of the historical critical method that we call it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes sometimes it is true that they may take away from a great homily. I think we have to preach on the abundance of Jesus, on the ability to see the small realities that may bring larger realities this later. I still think those are great, great homilies, great, great ideas for homilies, but we shouldn't ignore the context in which these texts were written.
So I don't have anything better than that. Those are good points. So I'm going to save, I'm not going to make any more comments.
Okay.
So why don't we wrap up? Those are good thoughts for this weekend.
Very good. Did you get me any gifts for my birthday?
It's coming. It's coming.
Like the check is in the mail,
right? Exactly, right. You know that expression.
I do. I've heard it many times.
All right. So if you're looking for Mass this weekend, masstimes.org, or here in the Milwaukee area, archmill.org.
And as always, we say, if you know of anybody who could benefit from listening to this podcast, let them know we exist. We are very thankful for the many messages we receive many times and the support of many people. And we are very glad to be doing this.
So, Ricardo, have a good birthday, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com, for faith, fellowship, and love.